Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is a very precious and valuable thing to each and every one of us. And we praise you and thank you for how you reveal yourself to us in it. And today, Lord, I pray that you would use me, that you would open the eyes of the understanding, even for me, so that I can better express this to the congregation, but also, Lord, open up their ears and their hearts, that they can hear and understand what you have to say to them. So now, Lord, we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our scripture today, as you can see, takes place in Cana of Galilee. Some of the people that we know that attended this wedding are, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus and his disciples. What was so special? You know, you might ask yourself, I did, what was so special about this wedding celebration and the people involved that the Holy Spirit inspired John to even record the story in the Bible? Well, let me try to explain to you why I think he did. Now, I'm also going to be having up here the version that I went from as I prepared this message, so that you can kind of see, you'll see the difference in the translations, and I just wanted you to see why that would be. All right. On the third day of the week, there happened to be a happy little couple celebrating with family and friends their marriage in the village of Cana. In those days, a wedding, you know, could possibly last up to a week. The family was supposed to provide a feast of the socially required standards of that time. If they failed in proper hospitality, it would be a serious offense to the family. Very traditional. Unfortunately for them, the wine ran out. When Mary found out that the wine had run out, she went to Jesus and told him, they have no wine. Well, in those days, their drinking choices were pretty much water or wine, and it appears they were drinking wine. Yet it still takes time to drink that much wine that you would run completely out. When Mary found out they were out of wine, did she try to solve the problem herself? No. She goes directly to the source. Mary had many occasions to learn what Jesus' purpose on earth was. You know, in reality, this is a lesson in and of itself for us. Let's think about it. The checking account is zero. There's no food in the refrigerator. Or the last doctor has told you it's stage 4 cancer and there's no hope. Usually, in those situations, what do we do? Well, usually we try to figure out some way to take care of the problem ourselves. I mean, I know sometimes I'll even say something like, oh, I'll just have to pray about it, as if it's like our last resource. Now, Mary, she goes directly to Jesus. Now, don't you find Jesus' response to Mary's request a little head-tilting? Dear woman, why did you involve me? My hour has not yet come. It kind of reminds me of his response when he was 12 years old. He had gone with Mary and Joseph to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When it was over, thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they looked for him, but didn't find him. When they did not find him among their relatives, they went back to Jerusalem. When they did find him 3 days later, where was he? He was in the temple courts. What was he doing? Asking the leaders questions, astonishing them by his understanding and answers. So when Mary asked Jesus, Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been seriously and anxiously searching for you. His answer was, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Jesus' focus in both situations is very spiritual, pursuing his mission here on earth, the final goal of death on the cross and resurrection, our salvations, right? Well, did this discourage Mary? It doesn't seem to. She appears to pay no attention to what he said. And what we might think is being rather presumptuous goes and tells the servants to do whatever he tells them to do. As far as Mary's experiences with Jesus, it's evident this is not going to be the first miracle she has ever seen. Remember that she has seen firsthand for 30 years what her son is capable of. And in addition to that, Mary was Jewish and had heard the prophecies from the Torah all her life about her son, Jesus, who was the Son of God. Her response makes sense when we take all of this into consideration. Now back to the wedding. Conveniently, there were 6 water pots that had been set aside for the Jewish custom of purification, and they each held 20 to 30 gallons of water. The Jewish custom was when they became ceremonially unclean, they would wash their hands for cleansing. The Jewish guests would become ceremonially unclean just by their daily, everyday lives, and would receive cleansing by pouring water over their hands. I mean, it's like, now we wash our hands, right, with hand sanitizer and all that, but this was an actual, tribute where they had to do this. They couldn't be ceremonially unclean, so they, therefore had to do this. Therefore, these pots were ready to be used for cleansing, but God had a different use for them, didn't he? Jesus told the servants to fill them up with water, so they filled them to the brim. Then he told them to draw some out and take it to the head waiter, so they did. When the head waiter tasted the water which had become wine, remember, he didn't know where it had come from, but the servants did. He called the bridegroom and asked him. I always want to go, hey, dude, but everyone serves the good wine first, right? And when the guests have drunk freely, then he serves the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. Like, why? Well, at this point, we become more and more aware of the number of witnesses also that are involved in this miracle. Each step of this wedding story involves somebody new. There was Mary, the disciples, all the servants, the head waiter, the bridegroom, and sooner or later, all the wedding guests. And then, you know how it goes. Then all of Cana, right? Because whenever when something like this happens, we know what people do. They get all excited. I mean, and first of all, this is a miracle. So they're going to go around and they're going to say, did you hear what happened at so-and-so's house or wedding yesterday? What happened? Jesus, Mary's son, he changed water into wine. What? Oh my goodness, they're all shocked. And this is all because they ran out of wine. Don't you appreciate the down-to-earth need that is taken care of by this miracle? There was simply a wedding feast where the bridegroom's management didn't plan. It seems very well. So Mary, not wanting that family to offend their guests by being unable to provide all the wine they desired to drink, brought the problem to Jesus. Don't you think that is what the Lord desires for us to do too? Mary went to Jesus right away with this problem. Why? Because she knew from experience what Jesus could and would do. Who knows what miracles she had seen him do. Therefore, I imagine she knew exactly what Jesus was going to do. Her faith was in Jesus. She acted on her faith by coming and telling him the bridegroom's unknown problem. Jesus took care of an event that was important to everyday people. Mary brought it to Jesus because she knew he would take care of it. I must admit, I really admire Mary's faith. But I also see the Holy Spirit working through her, guiding and leading her words and actions. We know so little of Jesus' life up to this point, but Mary gives us a glimpse of what she had experienced over the years. Otherwise, why would she have gone to him and then told the servants to do whatever he told them to do? Haven't you, over the years, experienced God's miracles and complete involvement in your everyday life? When we step out in faith that we each have been given and go to Jesus with our everyday problems and needs, we choose right then and there to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, those servants knew where the wine had come from, but the head waiter didn't. Even when he went to the bridegroom, he was still baffled by the whole chain of events. This is not how it's done. You don't serve the best wine when everyone is drunk freely. What a witness to those servants who filled those pots with water. I can sort of see them smiling as, you know, couldn't you just picture them standing there, you know, they're waiting, you know, for their next command, right? And then they hear the head waiter talking and telling the bridegroom what's going on. And they're going, we know what's going on. Now, in verse 11, it says, this beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This was the first of his signs performed to the public. Jesus, by changing water into wine, reveals his glory. And his new disciples put their trust, I mean their faith in him. The same as their ancestors did the day they walked through the sea on dry land. In Exodus 14:29-31, it says, but the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus, the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. Now, you can look at these two miracles and say one is greater than the other, but the end result, the fact that we today are talking and believing in, that both of them took place, shows how great and important both of them were. So we can't say that there is ever anything too small then to go to the Lord in prayer about, can we? Because just like the witness of these two situations, they cause people to put their faith in the Lord. This is what the Lord desires of us. He wants us to put our faith in him. So when there is a need, no matter how large or small, we go directly to him with this need. When we do this, everyone involved is given the opportunity to experience the miracle with us, and God receives the glory. This is why I think the Holy Spirit inspired John to record this in the Bible. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, in each of our lives, we all have needs. We all have water that we need to have changed into wine. And Lord, we thank you that you are the miracle worker. You're the God that changes things. And so, Lord, wherever there needs to be change, we ask that your intervention, that your miracle, gracious, loving power would come in and make those changes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.